Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Court, presented by McDonald's on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Here comes the line, just a sack, and the ball is left. Carolina recover, and it's a touchdown. Yes. And the Panthers have done it.
Taylor slings it toward the end zone, off the hands of an intended receiver, and incomplete. The Panthers are going to go to 2-0.
Very proud of our guys for the way they played hard. You know, we may not have played smart. It was not pretty, but they played hard and they competed to the very end. And we're fortunate to come out on top.
And now, along with Jim Soke and Eugene Robinson, here's Mick Mixon with Panther Talk, live from the Red Zone at Bank of America Stadium.
If you want to demonstrate, thank you guys. Great seeing y'all. Full house in here and the panel is full. We got the Zoke, Jeannie Robb, and Coach Rivera. If you want to demonstrate your comprehension of NFL football and how difficult it is to win any game, then do not refer to a Panther victory as an ugly win. Coaches will take 2-0, 3-2.
That's right.
9-3, and it is as pretty as Sunday, Christmas Day. So welcome to the show, Coach. What were your takeaway points from what your football team showed you and gave to you in win number 2 of the season yesterday?
Well, as I said last night, you know, we played hard, and that was probably the big thing, the best thing about it. You know, we talk about trying to play physical, trying to do things the right way, and sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. Probably the best thing about what happened was the end of the game. You know, we get the ball one last time. We go on an 8-minute drive. We answer their field goal but with another field goal, and then we send the defense out in a 2-minute drill and basically shut it down. I mean, it's one of those things that it ended the way it should have for us, doing the things that we're capable of, playing the way we're capable of. And you know, again, we missed some opportunities, so I'm not gonna you know, discount that. We probably should have put three or four touchdowns on the board. We didn't. We had opportunities to do it. We missed those. But we'll get better at it. And the thing that, you know, I still find promising is to play well and win is one thing. To miss opportunities and still win is another thing. So you know, I think things bode well for us as we go forward. But we just got to start taking care of business.
Julius Peppers said that he thinks this is the best defense he's ever been a part of. You've played on unbelievably great defenses. You've coached great defenses as well. I'm not asking you to rank it, but about his comment, what do you think about that? And could this be a very special year on defense?
It can be, you know, but I will say this too. Part of it is what happens with special teams in the offense as well. You know, right now we're not really turning the ball over. We're controlling the clock. In both games, we've won the time of possession. Unfortunately, in both games, we didn't put the amount of points I believe we could have. But at the same respect, you know, you want to always pay attention to your opponent and give them kudos as well, because they played hardest, you know, and they're trying to win the game just as much as you are.
And, Coach, I want to go ahead and continue with the defensive theme that Zoke just started with. Just the matchup problem, because when we look at the defensive front, you use these guys in different type of rotation. We saw Julius Peppers at a 3 technique at some times, and we saw him with the K-1 short. Charles Johnson. Just give me the different combinations you guys are able to do with all the different parts you have, moving parts, with this really good fast front.
Well, for the most part, really the 4 defensive tackles we have, KK's the only one that can line up at end. But our 4 ends, all 4 of them can line up as defensive tackles. So we can go in there with, you know, what we kind of call a NASCAR package, which really just means our fast pass rushers put all, you know, 4 of those guys in there, and you have a completely different group of guys. Now, out of those 4 guys, you can put any of those 4 in at the 3 technique, any of those 4 guys outside as a wide 9, and next thing you know, you've got somebody that they've got to contend with on a different level. While you got Julius on the left, you got Julius on the right, Julius is a 3. You know, you could have
as we saw Charles Johnson as a 3 technique.
You could have Chuck as a 3. You can have Wes as a 3. And if we're feeling kind of salty, we can go ahead and take Mario and move him inside in a stand-up 2-point, and we can drop him into coverage or we can rush him. So we have a lot of options, and that's one thing that's created by having guys that have that kind of versatility.
I hate to waste a question on this, but I think it's necessary. When fans hear you refer to defenders as zero technique, three technique, five technique, seven and nine, to what exactly do you refer so that everyone can understand the football dialogue?
Well, from zero to four, those are where your defensive tackles will line up. Zero is head up. One is on the shade of the center. Two is in the gap. Three is on the outside shade of the guard. Four is an inside shade of the offensive tackle. And then you start talking about how you want to line up your defensive ends, and you start talking about a five, a six, a seven, an eight, and a nine. And those are from the tackle out.
That's your shorthand to describe where defenders are exactly positioned relative to the offensive
end. Right. And for the most part, you know, if you're starting at the tight end, it goes from a 6-3 to a 1-4, a 1-5, excuse me. So the six being over the tight end, the three being over the strong guard, the one being on the weak side of the center, and the five being on the outside of the weak tackle.
It's like football
301.
I love it.
This is football 301.
Yeah, I love it because football is such an academic game, and people don't think you just line up. You don't line up. You line up with a purpose, yes. And those gaps are implicit based on when you line up, right, Coach?
Yes, and for the most part, you know, whether you're a shade or you're a three also dictates what responsibilities you have.
We're going to make Russell Shepard go through the route tree later just to make you feel better. Spend some time on that. How was it, Shady McCoy, some think might be the best running back in the league, that you were, as a team, able to hold him to 9 yards on 12 carries?
I'll tell you this much. He may be one of the most versatile in the league. That's for doggone sure. He's a good runner. He runs well inside and outside. He's got the speed to get outside and turn the corner. He's got enough power to run up inside. And he's great out of the backfield catching the ball. So, you know, he poses a lot of problems. Probably the biggest thing we did, more so than anything else, was we were disciplined up front. I thought our defense, the line played an exceptional game, you know, and referring as Mick does, our one and our three played very well. Those guys got the push and penetration you need. And then our ends, our six, five, and nines, they set the edges very nicely and kept the ball contained and didn't allow that stretch play. You know, they run what we call a stretch play, a wide stretch or an inside stretch or an outside stretch play. And the idea is to stretch the defensive front as big as you can, allow that running back with vision to make a cut, whether he cuts back or he hits it straight downhill. Mm-hmm. We were able to keep that thing from stretching wide. We kept everything constricted and really didn't give him anywhere to run.
And there was one fourth down that I want you to talk about where Mario Addison does an incredible job of keeping that edge as your linebackers are flying to the ball on Shady McCoy.
Well, what happened on that play, you know, we had a sense they lined up in a deep I formation, and just looking at, you know, one of the things that they've done in the preseason, they ran fullback belly. And off of that, they just hand the ball to the fullback straight downhill through the belly of the offense. Well, then they do what they call the flip play, which is they ride it down like they're going to hand it off to the fullback. They try to suck everybody inside, and then they flip it out to Shady trying to get wide. Well, Mario played discipline, got vertical into his contain, and when the ball got flipped to Shady, he had nowhere to go. Mario forced him to cut back, and the linebackers were able to pursue to it. And thus, we were able to stop the fourth down attempt.
Coach Rivera, our guest on Panther Talk tonight, our show is presented by McDonald's. And, Coach, let's talk about that last play. It's been broken down all over the country, the last Buffalo play on fourth down. What's supposed to happen there? Whose man was Jones?
You know, this is what's interesting about that play, too. And everybody talks about, say, oh, they were lucky, you know. Well, they were lucky as well. We missed three touchdowns as well. So, you know, it's just the nature of the game. It happens, you know. If he throws the ball where it should have been, they score a touchdown, they win. He doesn't throw it where it needs to be, the ball's not caught, we win. It's that simple. But what really should have happened on that at that point was James Bradberry should have just continued to keep his depth, keep everything in front. And what happened was they ran what we call a smash seven combination or a curl seven. The widest receiver ran at James and curled up to get James to settle his feet. The quarterback was looking in that direction, so James thought he might be throwing below him. Then all of a sudden, the seven came in behind James. If James had kept sinking like he should have, then the quarterback would have been forced to throw it shallow. If not, he tries to throw that deep pass like he did. There's a good chance it could have been intercepted. So, you know, again, it's just one of those things. The guys, young guys have got to understand if somebody's in front of you, somebody's trying to get behind you.
All right, let's talk some offense. And Greg Olsen broke his own news yesterday about his broken foot, and so we know he'll be out for a period of time. But you've got a veteran in Ed Dixon. You've got some other components there. There's other ways you can attack the offense. So just in general, what's kind of the thinking of trying to absorb the loss of Olsen for a while?
Well, right now, I was pretty pleased with some of the things that Mike and the offense did. You know, they came out and ran some more 12 personnel where we put Ed at Greg Olsen's spot. We brought Chris Manhertz in, and he played Ed's spot. Then we went 13 personnel, jumbo 13. or 13 jumbo. What that is, we keep both Ed and Chris in there, and we bring Amini Sulutolu in as the jumbo and lined him up as the Y tight end, the blocking tight end. And when we went on that eight-minute drive, that's what we did. We went into 13 package, brought them guys in, and we ran some power football playing out of that. Then we also played a lot of 11 personnel, which really just calls for Ed to play Greg's spot. So we moved those things, those components around, like you said. Ed had a pretty decent day, caught a couple of balls, blocked well, just basically played Greg's spot pretty good. So I have a lot of confidence in Ed. I think Ed'll do well this week for us. I think Chris Manners will get an opportunity to step up, and we'll see what we're going to do with the rest of the roster from this point.
And one, quite frankly, there's only one ball to go around, too. So, you know, when you look at KB being targeted, Devin Funches being targeted, how much you would target even McCaffrey, this is really a really good problem to have because you've got so many different weapons that you can exploit, Coach.
Well, the best thing is, and if you get a chance to look at the stats and count, we threw to 9 different receivers. I mean, that's very reminiscent to a couple of years ago when we had our most success. The quarterback was throwing to 9 different guys, 10 different guys there very easily every week. So, again, if we can keep that going, keep that rolling, I think that'll be a positive because, you know, if you don't favor a guy, there's really nobody for them to roll down to or try and take away. Whereas if you do start favoring a guy and the other guys haven't stepped up, you can put yourself in a tough spot.
And Zoke, as you well know, when they refer to personnel groupings, the one is the number of backs in the game. The second number is the number of tight ends in the game. You add those two numbers up, subtract from 5, that gives you the number of wide receivers in the game.
You carry the 1.
And our injury updates, by the way, are brought to you by Ortho Carolina's Urgent Care Centers. When time is of the essence, do what we do around here. You trust your injury to the folks at orthocarolina.com/urgentcare. Ortho Carolina, you improved. Coach, when Greg Olsen leaves the field with an injury, he doesn't leave your football team. What kind of leadership voice do you expect him to continue to exercise with the guys moving forward?
Loud. You know, that's the one thing about Greg you gotta love is his presence. You know, whether he is going to be on the field or not, he will have a presence in that locker room. The guys will really appreciate him being around as well. And it'll be for a short period. It's one of those things that, you know, the time frame will be between 6 to 8 weeks. You know, we're trying to decide what moves we want to make if we're going to make roster moves. We'll have an idea tomorrow. We got some things going on that we're working on right now. So once we get to that point, we'll have a clarity probably tomorrow afternoon.
And Ryan Khalil obviously woke up with that sore neck yesterday. He still thought he was going to play because he was on the active list yesterday. But Tyler Larson looks like he played well. I guess my question to you is, you know, Ryan's a Pro Bowl player, though. There's more than just the position. There's setting protection and all of that. How's Tyler do when he's got all that responsibility?
Tyler did well. He really did. You know, he's a smart young man. He showed it to us last year when he played in place of Geno and Ryan. You know, when they both went down, he stepped up, finished the season for us. I think it was 6 games or 7 games. Yeah. Did a nice job, and he's a smart football player. So, you know, we did miss Ryan, but we didn't miss him as much if it hadn't been for Tyler's ability to play. So I think, again, with a little bit of work, if you know, Khalil isn't ready this week, I know Tyler will be, and Tyler will get a little bit more work this week as we start getting ready for New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Well, Coach, when you have an 8-man front, and particularly the 8-man front that 3 week when they drop down to safety, Poyer, what does the mindset change as far as, you know, it's going to be hard to run the ball, and now you have to go ahead and pass the ball?
Well, you know, it's one of those things that if you are rolling on all cylinders, it doesn't matter how many people they put in the box, you can go ahead and grind it out. And again, as I said, that was one of the things that I really appreciated about our offenses in the fourth quarter. We went on that 8-minute drive, and they knew we were trying to run the football. So they were in a lot of 8-man boxes, yet we were still able to grind it out and hold that ball for 8 minutes and kick the field goal. So again, I think the thing that you look at is, okay, if they're going to come down in the 8 box, you know, and there is an opportunity to go hard play action or go boot action, catch him in a bad position and create something downfield, you do it. But the thing you got to be careful of is, you know, the potential for them to blitz. And that's one of the things that, you know, we struggled with a little bit yesterday, did a couple things we didn't anticipate. We adjusted to it later in the game. But the thing you would like to do is just anticipate a little bit more and really hit it from the beginning of the game.
So we'll let you go on this one. New Orleans coming in, as you said. Obviously, you play them twice a year, very familiar with them, but a different style, different type of team when you're dealing with Drew Brees and that quick pace that they run that offense at.
Very much so. You know, it's one of those things because he is one of the prolific passers in this league and, you know, most certainly a Hall of Famer. And the thing that we have to understand is that, you know, this offense is really built around him. Mm-hmm. You know, I know they've got some components that they just most recently brought in, Adrian Peterson. But, again, this really is about Drew Brees, you know, about the numbers that he can put up. And as you said, the fast pace. If he gets into his rhythm and he starts throwing the ball and starts making things happen downfield, the thing you have to be aware of, the thing that you've got to be careful about is their ability to run it eventually. So, you know, if you can make them or keep them one-dimensional, it makes things a lot easier.
Coach, I know I speak for the rest of the guys when I say this is some of our favorite time of the week. We love talking ball with you, chopping it up, talking about the nines, the threes, the sixes, the 11 personnel, the 22 personnel, the jumbo and whatnot. So thanks for what you do, and good luck this coming week.
Appreciate it, Mick. Thank you.
All right, that's Coach Ron Rivera, our guest on Panther Talk. We're presented by McDonald's. If you don't want to go straight egg a muffin or a coffee, why not amp up with the Sausage McMuffin with egg with just $1.69 out of your pocket? That's for a limited time only at McDonald's. There's more Panther Talk from Bank of America Stadium next on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
This is Panther Talk, brought to you by Miller Lite, the light beer that's always brewed for more taste. Miller Lite, hold true. Bank of America, official bank of the Carolina Panthers. AT&T, proud sponsor of the Carolina Panthers. AT&T, entertainment your way.
Heavy rush, Newton in trouble, bumped, keeps his balance, sprints right, directing traffic. Newton's going to run to the 40, makes a great move, stays in bounds, dives to the 31, first down. How in the free world did he do it?
And Newton lofts a pass, McCaffrey, leaping grab, nice. Unbelievable play, came down with it, circus catch, first down in front of the Carolina bench at the 39.
Good snap, good spot, the kick is up, and he drills it.
I'm disappointed in myself, but, you know, happy for the overall team, you know, just to see, you know, how we battle and found ways to win the football game today. It wasn't pretty at all, but yet, you know, this whole thing is about the process and trusting it. Coach spoke on it, and, you know, anytime in this league that you can get a win, you know, you take it and you run with it. So, you know, we're not going to apologize for that. You know, I just have to know as a player and you know, personal challenges to myself that I have to be better and I will be better.
This is Panther Talk, presented by McDonald's on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
The player cut you just heard, of course, is Cam Newton, the Panthers QB. That comment or two he made was emblematic of how he internalized a lot of that win yesterday and the things the Panthers could have done better. Eugene, you were a part of NFL locker rooms for 16 seasons. How does that resonate with you, the way Cam seemed to step into the breach and give credit to his teammates but accept a lot of the criticism on himself?
Particularly from a leader. When you have the leader of your team and he expresses what he just expressed, it makes you feel really, really good because now you realize that everybody's accountable. Everybody's culpable for what they have to go ahead and do out in the football field. And as you go ahead and do that, and when you're even in that locker room, it sells even more because now you're one of those guys that says, I'm accountable. And I know they were talking about, man, we should put a lot of points up on the board. And he says, yeah, I'm the guy. I'm accountable. I need to do better. Well, that's coming from your quarterback. And when you have your quarterback doing that, look, you will go through a wall for the guy. You'll go through a wall of trying to make the extra play, trying to make the extra catch or diving down on the ground. You go through all that stuff. And so for Cam to go ahead and say what he said, that sells in that locker room big time.
Nice thing, Mick, too, and Eugene, is that they're 2-0, and you can see Cam didn't have a lot of offseason to get himself. I mean, he threw two preseason passes. So you can't expect him just to come out in 100% game speed, games that count, and be 100% sharp out there. So we saw some of the highlights, too, where he did make the passes. So he's making a lot of them, but he's missing on some opportunities. Those will come around in time, but it's nice that you could go 2-0 while your quarterback is kind of catching up with not much of an offseason to work with.
Here's what else I want to talk about with you guys on our broadcast roundtable, brought to you by Geico, where it's not just an ad, it's the real deal. Spend 15 minutes, give them a quarter hour, talk to them about your policies, and you can save a lot of money like we did at our house. Every offense has blitz beaters, certain plays, sight reads,
yes,
sight adjustments, hot reads, certain things that will penalize a team for committing additional pass rushers to the pocket. to what degree were the struggles that seem to be in the Panther O-line attributable to the Panthers not being a little more nimble at getting the ball out of there quickly to the right guy against that blitz?
Well, this is what I think that Cam is talking about. I think Cam held the ball just a little bit too long at certain times, and you need to get the ball down the field. Here it is. We saw some really good coverage, some coverage sacks too, because as Cam looked, he held on to the receiver just a little too long and said, oh, I got to throw the ball over here. Well, that time the window and opportunity is gone. That's some of the things that he's alluding about, because the ball could have come out a little bit quicker. And now some of the alleviating of the pressure of that blitz is McCaffrey. I remember McCaffrey, I didn't know if he was supposed to block the backer that was coming off the edge, or was he supposed to release? Well, it kind of did kind of almost nothing in between. Well, that is a natural release spot. I throw and dump the ball off the McCaffrey. Those things will get cleaned up. But that's what I think what Cam was talking about. Beyond just the throws, the overthrows, I think he's also talking about the fact that he held the ball just a little bit maybe too long.
And to his credit, by the way, too, he also averted some sacks where he looked dead to rights.
Did.
Like, I don't know how he got out of it. He's done that through the years.
He is incredible.
But how he gets out, he got out of at least three, I think, where he should have been, any other quarterback would have been sacked.
Indeed.
Yeah, I agree. Panther Football brought to you by the NFL's Ticket Exchange, the only official ticket exchange of the NFL. It's just that simple. Get Ticketmaster verified tickets on the NFL's Ticket Exchange. Russell Shepherd, he is balling, and we'll talk to him next. This is Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
This is Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network. Brought to you by McDonald's. Get a sausage McMuffin with egg for just $1.69 at McDonald's today. I'm loving it.
Tyrod Taylor, in trouble, sack, 16-yard line.
Fourth down, a yard.
Taylor takes, it's the flip, left side McCoy. McCoy runs into 2-3 Panthers, and he didn't make it.
Good on left, flank or right. Backs are in the eye. It's McCoy again. This time, nowhere to go at all. Taylor in the gun. 2-by-2 set, one back. Backs up. In trouble.
Peppers
gets him for a sack at the 29.
You know, that's what makes this game so fun, is there's three phases, and when one phase isn't, you know, playing up to what they want to do, the other phases step up. And, you know, since I've been here, we've had games where we play great in all three phases, and some games where we play poorly on defense and the offense picks us up. So, you know, there's ebbs and flows every season, and those guys will be fine, and I'm sure at some point this season they're going to pick us up too.
Back to Mick Mixon, Jim Soakey, and Eugene Robinson with Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Even though the other teams in the NFC South are greatly despised, we're not immune to having our favorite players on those other teams. And Zoke, our player guest tonight, always admired the way he went about his business when he was with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yep, we could pick out some good players from other teams and bring them on board. Number 19, former Buccaneer, former LSU Tiger, Russell Shepherd.
Appreciate for having me. This is cool, man. This is really cool.
Now, you were saying when you were in Tampa, you all did a radio show, but it was like three people in a booth or something like that?
Yeah, it was three people, and I was the third. So, I mean, they told me I was going to do a radio show today, and I came here, and I seen this. I was like, okay, this is some real football.
We don't normally do this. We did this just because you were coming today, so it's a little special.
Oh, I feel really special.
We have snacks and everything.
I'm going to have to tell Cam this. I'll make him a little jealous.
So, let's talk about as you were coming to this team, what did you see in this team to allow yourself to get on this team here?
You know what, the most important thing was just the physical style of play. You know, I'm an LSU Tiger myself, so I've you know, kind of gotten used to being with a very dominant style of defense, a very physical style of offense. Even though I'm a receiver, I think I'm one of the most underrated ways of winning the football game is running the football, and just the opportunity to be a part of something special here. And I think all those things with the young receiver room and me thinking I can contribute and do some different things, I think it just kind of made me think this is a place I need to be. And, you know, not only that, I stay on the 19th floor, and I knew I was going to wear number 19. So like, all right, I think this is all that's telling me where I need to be.
Are you known as a good route runner, Russell? And how important is that to being an NFL wide receiver?
You know what? I think it's a very important thing. Me having a background on all, you know, playing, just doing different things, whether it's running the football, tackling, being able to play inside and outside, and just my lack of experience, you know, playing the receiver position. Like I said, being the quarterback in high school and just doing a lot of different things in Tampa throughout the years. The last few years, that's something that I kind of told myself I wanted to get better at. You know, it's becoming a better route runner, being able to take that part of my game and elevate it. And I think that was a big part of me having success last year when Vincent Jackson went down with an injury, and me being able to step in and contribute to the offense in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, coming off your most productive season last year. So when you come here, your first regular season game at San Francisco goes for a 40-yard touchdown, your first catch.
Yeah, appreciate it.
How special was that to contribute to what was the first touchdown of the season on what was your first offensive play, essentially, as far as contributing points?
You know, I didn't realize it was my my first, you know, it was the first touchdown of the season until, you know, my wife kind of came in the house. I came in the house and she threw something at me. She's like, hey, great job.
Did you catch it?
No, I didn't. But it was just a great experience, man. You know, anytime you can score touchdowns in this league, anytime you can catch balls in this league, I mean, it is a very, very, you know, at times for me, it can be an overwhelming thing. I'm a guy who, even though I play receiver, my first 3 years in this league, I had more tackles than I had catches. So I actually, man, just catching the football and being able to contribute to the offense is something that I don't take for granted, and I'm very grateful. So, you know, I just think, you know, last year I scored a touchdown against San Fran. So I just think, you know, I just got a thing for that stadium. Mm-hmm.
There you go. You know, we were talking early in the last segment. Mick was talking about hot routes and how do you alleviate the pressure of a blitz. What is a hot route when someone's blitzing? What does that mean? And what are you guys trying to do when someone is blitzing you?
Well, you know, a lot of times, you know, especially when we have an athletic quarterback like Cam Newton, you know, teams try to figure out any way to stop this guy, man. So a lot of times, you know, which we see a lot here, which they did a lot in Tampa when I was in Tampa, they bring pressure. They bring people from everywhere, whether it's safeties, whether it's corners, and, you know, they just blitz them. And as an offense, you know, offensive line, you only have a certain amount of guys that can block, you know, and protect the quarterback because you have other guys doing different things. So, you know, throughout the years, they've come up with the term called hot route. And, you know, it's usually when you can have a receiver or a tight end or a running back where they can just kind of break off their route and they can just get, you know, to the open, you know, area, you know, and on the field. And just throughout the years, you know, it's been something that's really, really just kind of been very important to this game with it being such a pass-happy lead. But with us, you know, a lot of times that's how we, you know, be able to, you know, that's how, you know, we have big plays. You know, even though my catch was downfield, it was kind of sort of a hot route, you know, when we played against San Fran. They had pressure coming off my side, and I just had to get over to the other side of the zone, and it's kind of like nobody was there.
That's the 19, Russell Shepherd. So as we go to break, I'm walking through the press box on Sunday, and I see all these young junior birdmen, cub reporters, these young guys, interns trying to get gigs. Half of them smell like an Amsterdam brothel. These guys know football.
How do you know what that smells like?
This is something that I don't just think about, I know about. And that is that in broadcasting and in most other industries, you want your work to be memorable, not your perfume. Jack Black has got this figured out. If they hadn't, they wouldn't be the locker room favorite of the Carolina Panthers.
Funny.
You'll find it at getjackblack.com, Nordstrom, Ulta, and also
you do the best commercials.
House.
You do the best commercials. You just see what I'm just saying. You
again,
do.
That was for Jack Black.
There you go.
Jack Black and skincare.
Not for Amsterdam brothels.
All right.
There we go.
Let's take a short break. We'll come back with the incomparable Russell Shepherd next.
This is Panther Talk, brought to you by Ford. The matchmaker will find you the perfect Ford. See your Carolina Ford dealer and make a connection today. Carolina's Healthcare System, the official healthcare provider of the Carolina Panthers. This is the care you demand. Pepsi, official soft drink partner of the Panthers and all for the Carolinas.
Holmes and Matthews to the left. Jones also to the right. Panthers rush four on fourth down. Taylor slings it toward the end zone, off the hands of an intended receiver, and incomplete. It was Zay Jones who laid out for the ball at the 4-yard line. The Panthers are going to go to 2-0.
A win's a win, man. It's hard to win, and just to even win by whoever we won by six. It's a good win for us, and you know, we just got to take this win and take it on to next week.
This is Panther Talk, presented by McDonald's on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
your humble host with you, Mick, the Zoke, and Eugene. And our player guest, the star of the segment of the show, Russell Shepherd, Carolina Panther wide receiver.
Number one threat. Number one receiver.
Oh, I don't know about that.
On
the show. Okay.
On the show.
You can ask people to trust you. You can tell them that you're trustworthy, but generally this has to be earned. Russell, how have you gone about earning the trust of your starting quarterback, Cam Newton?
You know what? As you go through the season, you go through a lot of ups and downs. But the most important thing is you just got to come to work every day, and you just grow with them. You know, Cam does an amazing job of just showing everybody and, you know, allowing everybody to know that he believes in them, and that as long as you come to work and he knows that you want to make this team a better team, he's going to believe in you, man. I think, you know, yeah. Coming to this team, I wanted to get his trust. I wanted him to believe in me. But he makes it feel the other way around. He wants us to believe in him. He wants us to trust him. And I think that's one of the most underrated things about playing with Cam is his leadership style and just his way to just go about and making guys just feel better and make them believe in themselves.
So take us into the receivers room. You got basically a young group.
Yeah.
Because you're probably one of the, as far as tenured in the league, right up there.
Yeah.
KB and Funches are the big guys. A couple rookies like Samuel and Demir Bird, essentially a rookie as far as being on the regular squad, yourself as well. So kind of take us into that group and what that collection of players is like when you guys all get together.
Yeah, man, it's kind of unfamiliar to me. You know, the last few years in Tampa, I was one of the younger guys. You know, Vincent Jackson was one of the older guys. Tyquan Underwood, he was here for a little bit, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
And several other guys. Lewis Murphy, he was in Tampa Bay. He was here for
a while.
We had
him here, yep.
Yeah. So, you know, I knew prior to me signing to this team, I was kind of familiar with the room. I knew it was extremely talented. You know, I had a lot of young talent. But, I just knew that I can, you know, contribute in different ways. And, you know, even though I haven't caught an extreme lot of balls in this league, I've played in a lot of games, I've been in a lot of situations, and I've been with a lot of different type of receivers. From a Mike Evans, I played with Odell Beckham. I've seen, you know, the Jarvis Landry. I've seen the Vincent Jackson, the Mike Williams. And so I've seen some talent, and I knew that this room, they had all the talent in the world, you know, and I knew I contributed and can kind of help guide and mold some of these guys, take the next step in their careers and help them kind of, you know, flourish.
Mm-hmm. Football is always an occupational hazard, and so when guys get hurt, that's just the landscape in which we play.
Yep.
So when Olsen goes down, I wonder what is said between the receivers about how you not only have to step up your game, but what needs to happen from your standpoint to kind of help out the area where now he's down in.
Well, you know, number one thing is that as great as guys are in this league, we're human. You're going to get hurt. And Greg, his production, you know, it would never be, you know, it would never be redone. You know, he's a very unique football player, man. I mean, to have a tight end be your number one guy, you know, your number one receiver, really, the last few years, man, is extremely, extremely rare. You know, he does a lot for this football team. And even though everybody knows who Greg is, a lot of people don't know what he does for this team. I mean, from blocking to taking the younger guys in and teaching them different things like a hot route or teaching guys how to, you know, stem certain routes up so you can get open a lot better. I mean, it's going to be hard, but it can be done, man. You know, it's going to take a collection of different guys. It's going to take some guys growing up faster than they wanted to. It's going to take some guys taking on extra roles. And I think, you know, we're all trying to come together and figure out how we're going to do it. But one thing about Greg, man, is even though Greg's not going to be able to be out there physically, man, he's already involved in game planning. And it's crazy, man, because, you know, you don't see too many guys that know everybody's position on the football field. And I think he's going to be able to contribute and help us out and helping guys kind of step up and do different things because, you know, a guy like him, man, you can't get that style of play, really, you know, not too many, you know, too many players.
It's Russell Shepherd, who's known as one of the most gifted trash talkers in the NFL. We'll talk to him about his trash talking style and maybe some success stories he's had getting in guys' heads. In the meantime, download the Krispy Kreme Rewards app, and you'll receive exclusive rewards when the Panthers score, you score with free stuff at Krispy Kreme. You're listening to Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Buddy Pocken flicks a pass, caught left side, deep down the sideline. Russell Shepherd breaks away and will score a touchdown. Carolina Panthers, 40 yards. Cam Newton to Russell Shepherd.
It's amazing just how this locker room, this coaching staff, and this front office has welcomed me. You know, they truly, truly believe in me. They truly, truly want me to be the guy who I am. You know, a lot of times when you come in new teams and, you know, guys haven't played with you and they haven't went through the ups and downs with you, you're kind of told to keep your mouth shut and just go out there and do your job. But they welcome me to be a leader. They welcome me to go out here and just play football and do my part. And I'm very thankful for this front office and this organization.
Panther Talk continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
So he don't mind telling you he's a good trash talker. What's your trash talking style? And could you share a trash talking success story or two?
Okay. So I think it is 2015. It was actually Josh McCown was our quarterback. We went through a lot of quarterbacks in Tampa before we got Jameis. But they had a play where they wanted me to block the end. And, we play in Green Bay, the Green Bay Packers at the time, and they do a lot of different things, man. And, I was a receiver, like I said, I was a receiver for the most part of my career early on. When I came in, we were about to run the football. We weren't going to throw it. So this particular play, it was a third and short, and they wanted me to block this certain end, man. And I didn't really know at the time, you know, who it was going to be. It ended up being Julius Peppers, you know what I'm saying? So, I get in the game, and he already has, like, three sacks, you know. He's off to an amazing start, my man. And I'm just like, we get up to the line, and I'm like, hey, I'm a real big fan of yours. And he looks at me like, you know, we really going to have this conversation before the ball snaps. And, Pepper's he's a really good human being, man. And, he actually just kind of olays me and I fall, you know, head first into the ground. But, you know, just playing with him now and talking about that experience, and, you know, he didn't even remember when I brought it up. But, man, I tried to kind of catch him off guard and be a little friendly, and hopefully, you know, he doesn't just bulldoze me. So, you know, that was one of the most humbling experiences I had, because, like I said, he is one of my favorite players of all time. And just to, you know, I guess me telling him that, he kind of, instead of just knocking me down, he kind of just slaps me by. So I appreciate that.
That was friendly trash talk.
That's what it was.
Safety's a bodily harm. A lot. Eugene, is safety's trash talk, or is that more corners when they're up, like press coverage?
It depends. Some guys love to go ahead and talk. And corners, I think more so corners, because it's a bigger one-on-one battle between the corner and what's it? I think one was iconic was, remember when Deion Sanders and Rising got into that fight?
Yeah, they were
talking and jawing back and forth. So you see it a little bit more so with corners corners and receivers.
Yeah. Cortland Finnegan, you remember that?
Cortland Finnegan,
That's you talking about Andre Johnson?
Yeah.
That's historic. That's historic. Yeah, corners tend to have the bigger personalities. I mean, to play the cornerback position, you have to have a certain mindset. You have to truly, truly be able to believe in yourself after you got beat on a 60-yard bomb. I mean, I think being on the island and playing that style of play, that unique position, you got to have a very outgoing, a very strong mind, you know. The safety position, man, that's more so of your solid guys. They're kind of like the quarterback.
You heard that, solid guys?
What I'm hearing is you don't really need the mind to play safety.
At times when you play receiver, when you play corner, sometimes you can be devious. You know, you can even when things go bad, you there's certain receivers, they drop a ball and you tell them you dropped the ball. They like, no, I didn't drop that ball. No, I seen you drop that ball. And it goes the same way with corners. You know, you get beat on a 60-yard touchdown and they come back and you're like, why are you still talking? And you're like, you just got to have a certain mindset. And usually the corners are more of an outgoing type personality.
All right, we're going to pay some bills. We'll have more with Russell Shepherd, though, after a break. This is Panther Talk from Bank of America Stadium.
Continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Show flies by, especially with a great guest like Russell Shepherd. What do you got, Gene Rock?
Well, did you, in high school, did you ever want to play anything other than football or do any other sports? Or did you do any sports?
I wish I would play baseball, man. Baseball makes you your hand-eye coordination, man. I mean, as a receiver, that's one of the most important things. But I wish I would play a little baseball.
Russell knows we're short on time, only got about a minute and a half left, but you're from the Houston area.
Yeah.
How's the family, friends, everybody back there with the hurricane?
Everybody's good. Everybody's good. My house came out good. My mom, dad, no dogs floating, no nothing crazy going on. So I appreciate
you
guys.
Good to hear.
Man, I appreciate you.
Lots going on down there.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
When will you start getting into the New Orleans defense, and what do you think about that matchup Sunday, Russell?
Well, we're in it now, and it's exciting. You know, I played against them for a while, and it's going to be exciting. Man, anytime you can go against a style of defense, they play to do a lot of different things, and anytime you can go against an offense like them, you know, we got to score points, and we're excited to go out there and do it.
And the familiarity, it helps you being familiar with those guys, right?
Definitely. I've been watching that offense, that organization since I was in college, so I'm very, very familiar with it.
Is there anyone else like Drew Brees? I mean, is he kind of a one-of-a-kind the way he runs an offense?
Man, you don't see too many. Like, we're doing this two-minute drill right now. He runs a two-minute drill, man. So it's exciting. Anytime you can see a Hall of Famer, you can go out and, you know, you can just learn from him. It's always a great experience.
Got about 20 seconds. You told me off the air that your wife was your dog. What does that mean?
Oh, man, that's Miss Shep Dog, man. She holds the house down when I'm gone, man. She barks.
She run a thing, huh?
She bites, she barks, she scratches, she does it all, man. That's my baby, man.
That's good words. We'll end on that. Russell Shepard, thank you for being
thank
on the
guys.
Show.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank
all
you.
Right, Eugene Robinson for providing sound effects and football knowledge for the Zoke and the rest of our crew. This is Mick Mixon. Panther Talk, as normal, is an exclusive presentation of the National Football League and the Carolina Panthers Radio Network. Good night.
Thank you, guys.
This has been Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network. Brought to you by McDonald's. Get a sausage McMuffin with egg for just $1.69 at McDonald's today. I'm loving it. Bank of America. Official bank of the Carolina Panthers. Miller Lite. The light beer that's always brewed for more taste. Miller Lite. Hold true. Ford. The matchmaker will find you the perfect Ford. See your Carolina Ford dealer and make a connection today. Carolina's Healthcare System, the official healthcare provider of the Carolina Panthers. This is the care you demand. Pepsi, official soft drink partner of the Panthers and all for the Carolinas. AT&T, proud sponsor of the Carolina Panthers. Panther Talk. Panther Talk. Panther Talk. This is the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.